You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. That's Kiss and I Was Made For, a Loving You, certainly a song that can get your spirits up, and now it's time to have them dashed. Hello, Jeff.
Sure, you're on form, eh? Today. Yeah, so just dash me. I didn't say a word, and you're dashing me already.
Did you get dressed in the tumble dryer this afternoon or what?
No. Don't even look down there, okay?
Yeah, no.
No, because...
Yeah. All right, the best of life, love and chocolate sauce and all that this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you have a guest with you whom I'll let you introduce, and we're talking about child development.
Child development, and I'm going to be talking about, do you think if your child is naughty, is it his fault or her fault?
I was naughty, it was never my fault.
You are still naughty, that's a problem.
It was never my fault.
No, of course not, you narcissist.
Always my sister's.
Is that what it was? Mm. Okay, I get it. I know where you get it from now. Mm. Yes, with me today, I have Linda Ruett. Linda Ruett will introduce herself slightly, but Linda Ruett is a very interesting person because she used to be
She doesn't do it slightly. I hope that she is going to introduce herself properly.
Yeah, well, you'll know what I mean when I say what she does, actually. Oh. But she was a businesswoman and then went off and did life coaching and calls herself now and is so interestingly active in as a family constellation therapist. Good afternoon, Linda.
Hello, Jeff. Hi, Richard.
Hello. A what?
You see, I told you. So tell us, what is a family constellation therapist?
So family constellation therapy is, instead of talking and responding to questions, you use the body for information. Okay. In a nutshell. I mean, I can talk about it for hours. You know, Jeff.
Yeah. I do. All right. Okay. So we got an introduction. But today we're going to be talking about child development. And I know we were chatting last week or 2 weeks ago, and you said something very interesting about naughty. We're talking about naughty kids and things like that. And you said, well, it's not the kids that are naughty, actually. So I thought, oh, you know, this is an interesting thing. I think we must have a look at this. And so I had a look. I did some research. And I found out that you would be the best person to speak to about child development because you do these therapy, you are a life coach and that. Understanding the child development a little bit more because, you know, as parents, we don't go on a course to how to parent kids. We all of a sudden get pregnant as a couple. We have a couple of kids and then we just do our best we can, right? Okay.
Exactly.
We read a couple of books. I think my mother read Dr. Spock when she was younger, about a child rearing and all that kind of stuff. We don't know. So these things are very important. And what Richard and I try to do on the Best of Love, Life and Fruit Salad is to, interact with people and educate and learn ourselves, actually, on how things work. So what are the key development stages in the child early years? You were saying something about 7 years. Explain that.
So between 0 and 7 are the most important period, is the most important period for a child. As a baby, you are picked up when you cry, etc. So there are reaching out moments, and some kids miss some of those moments. So if a child doesn't get picked up regularly, or if the parent goes back to work too soon, there's an interrupted reaching out moment, which later in life actually has a huge impact. Then there are infants, you learn about trust and mistrust. As a toddler, you learn about the autonomy and the shame versus doubt. As a preschooler, you use your initiative or learn about that, and guilt and anxiety. Hmm. And in school, you learn about industry versus inferiority. If you miss some of those stages, and each stage has other smaller stages attached to it.
You were talking earlier about things that you miss. So, say for instance, if parents say, "Okay, we're doing a day where we, what do they call it, a selling day or whatever."
Bake sale.
The bake sale thing. You were explaining that.
Yes.
So tell me a bit more about that.
So we're living in an automated world where parents are in a rush. Everything is, there's not enough time. So you rush to the shop. You buy the cake for the cake sale. Now, what are you missing out on as a child? Buying the ingredients. So you learn about finances. So you buy, what did it cost to bake the cake? How long does it take to bake the cake? So is time part of money? When you sell the cake, are you making a profit? So if you're missing out on that stage, you're also missing out later in life in understanding finances.
Okay.
So the mother's role is about money.
Okay. That's good. I like that, you know. How does the child's environment, though, shape their behavior? How does that work? And their emotional well-being? Talk a bit about that.
So the best way to do it is to explain an eight-year-old. So the grandparents took the eight-year-old in. Now you have different systems. The system that the parent had before the child turned eight and the system that the grandparents have since the child turned eight. Now already there's systemic problems. The child now lives predominantly with the grandparents. And the child is labeled as naughty by the aunties, the uncles, the teachers, so much so that the child in his first year of school was changed four times. He went to four different teachers.
Mm.
Now, who is responsible for ensuring that the child can be in a classroom without disrupting the class, number one? Is it the child that's naughty, or what's really happening at home?
Mm. Oh, that is the question. Huh?
So when there's volatility at home, the mother and the grandmother doesn't get along.
Mm.
The mother and the father who's on drugs doesn't get along. So the therapy can't happen in isolation. And I said to the grandmother, we cannot have the child come for a session without you and your husband and your daughter doing follow-up sessions, because the problem isn't with the child.
Right.
It's what the child is experiencing at home that he takes to the playground. Now he's in the playground and he's being pushed. What happens at home when people are being pushed? They beat each other up, or whatever happens there.
Yeah.
What is the child doing? He's going to beat up the kid who pushed him.
Sure. Or become a bully, maybe.
Now the child... But the child gets bullied too. Mm. So it works both ways. Mm. But the bully at the school is also being bullied at home. Nothing works in isolation. Everything is interconnected.
Interconnected. Wow, jeez. So many parents describe their kids as naughty, okay? And I think it's not a bad thing. But what your perspective, from a development perspective, what does naughty actually mean? Or is it bad for the kid to be naughty?
Should
is there a level of naughtiness?
Well, if they're never allowed to do things that are not what the parent wants, are they learning anything? Which stage are they missing if they don't know right from wrong?
Mm.
So my grandkids painted my wall with thinners. And so I was mad. And then I explained to them. So it's a teaching moment, isn't it? To explain to the kid why taking the brush with the thinners and painting it on the wall. They thought they were just playing.
Is that play? So, and then lighting it, would that be naughty?
So that was entirely my fault, wasn't it? It was my fault. I left the thinners outside with a brush, not thinking that the kids are popping around
just
or
playing.
Visiting or playing. So was it naughty? So there was a moment to teach.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
And the teaching was around, I have to buy paint, I have to spend money, I have to get someone to paint the walls, and I may now have to paint the whole house outside.
Mm. Okay, teaching opportunity. All right, so what do you think are the most effective ways for parents to set boundaries without being too harsh or too lenient? So there is a balance there.
And one has to understand the child. So very sensitive kids need to be nurtured more. And mostly we are very critical as parents. We come home from work. Did you do your homework? Mm. Not what happened at school. Can I help you? Can I see what you did today?
Mm.
Can I show you how maybe when you did that, you could have done it this way? And the quality of your attention on the child. Have you ever walked into a room and you see a child's face light up?
Mm.
That's what they want from you. They want you to see them. Often in coaching sessions, what's missing for children and even adult children is that they were never seen or heard. So when they spoke, the parent was busy doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we need a lot of time. So if your three-month-old baby isn't put to bed at a certain time, at 3 years old, the child's still wandering around at 11.
Routine, eh?
So you teach them from the minute they're born up to that seven-year gap. And also, if your attention is a little bit on the child more than on yourself, because we can be very, you know, self-centered as parents because we have our own stuff. But remember, the child needs it more than what we do. So you have to get yourself out of the way and be with the child until the child goes to sleep, whether it's cleaning the dishes, cleaning the house. And also, are you teaching them about cleaning? Because so many kids have no clue about making their beds. Or
Yeah, I think that's pretty important. So behavior, setting encouraging positive behavior without resorting to punishment. So what strategies do you think work best for calming a child, let's say, during a tantrum? We've all been to the shopping center and we've seen the thing, okay? I mean, you know, Richard probably hoys one on his own, but I've seen kids do it as well.
Exactly.
And what do you think is the best way of handling that?
So firstly, you have to explain to the child what's going to happen when you go shopping. So before you take the shopping trip, you have to sit the child down and explain. So I normally say, I can buy you two things in the shop, not more than two. So you can decide whether you want this or that or whatever you want.
Okay.
So if the child understands, because we think they should just understand when we say no, why should they understand it? Mm. So teach them, coach them, be a coach as well as a parent.
Okay.
And it's not that complicated or complex. It's simple things. It's the basic things that we expect them to know, but they don't know it because we never taught it.
Yeah, we've got to look at it from their point of view, I suppose. You're right.
And if they cry, are we embarrassed? Is that why we're going a bit crazy in the shop? Mm. Don't be embarrassed when your child cries. I was at the shopping center with my three-year-old son many years ago, and the shop assistant said, oh, shame, just buy it for the child. I said, no, he's got 10 balls at home. He's not getting it. So what does the child learn? That he can't just get what he asks for.
Yeah.
And also, when you bake the cake, did you explain the finances, your finances, how much it cost you to bake? And the school's making money, but you didn't make money.
Interesting, you said earlier, you said when you do the bake sale, as the mom, did you buy the cake or did you make the cake?
Exactly.
There's the other lesson.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I found that quite interesting, what you're saying.
Yes. Because we are so involved with our bosses are like this, our fathers are like that we forget that the child actually needs us more. And if you take care of the child when he's young, you don't have to worry about drugs when they're older. You really do not.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the most serious thing.
Yeah. No, it is, and it becomes a serious problem, especially in some areas, and later in life, in all areas. You know what I mean? It's a problem. Okay.
And also encouraging two-way communication.
Mm.
Are people still having dinners together, or are they watching TV and having their dinner?
What about the cell phone thing?
Small kids shouldn't have cell phones.
Mm.
Well, if they do, then allow them maybe one day a week, play a little bit. But why are you not taking your kid to the playground? Why does he have to sit and watch TV? Or this eight-year-old as well, he said, I have nothing to do. I have no friends. So I said to the granny, you like walking? Take a walk with the kid to the park.
Mm.
And then the child was like, oh, the only time that I had fun was on a Saturday. Now every day my granny's taking me to the park.
Wow, that's brilliant. Well, it's just teaching parents as well parents or grannies, how to handle this thing. Because we're learning, as I said, we're learning as we go. And if we don't find out about these things, we never learn. And we can make big mistakes in our kids' lives. You know, it's quite scary, actually.
And actually, it's easier. So if I'm a granny and I'm taking the kid to the park, there's lots of other kids in the park.
Mm.
They make friends immediately.
Quick.
And so I can actually relax while they're doing their thing in the park.
Yeah, yeah. So, and how can parents, do you think, balance between warmth and understanding? I mean, the discipline. Disciplining the child and then having still warmth and understanding. That's got to be a balance as well, surely.
So you have to have rules, right? These are the rules.
Yeah.
So if you break the rule, this is the punishment. If you break this rule, that is the punishment. So once again, it's just communicating to the child that certain things have stricter rules because they could get hurt. Or so when the child understands, and if the child is being seen and heard, they don't do all these crazy things. They may want to light a match because they just want to check it out.
Yeah.
But if your eye is not on the child, then it's actually your fault, isn't it?
All right, let's be controversial. Two forms of punishment. Stand in the corner, you're not going to movies on Saturday, or a muss of big club, okay?
Yeah, no.
Or with a whip in like the old days or whatever. Where's that going nowadays? I know where it's going, but what do you think?
So here's the thing about hitting. So if I smack someone, do I feel good about it? So always think, and I've done it, don't get me wrong, I have one smack. One child gets a smack. I'll never do it again because I don't feel good about it, yeah. Number one. Number two, isn't it better not to give the pocket money? So you lose your pocket money, so you can't get your sweets or whatever for one day. Or don't be too harsh. And just consider what the child must be going through. Do you know how hard it is to be a kid today? 13-year-olds are really struggling.
I was going to ask you that question because the next question that comes up is has things changed? Have things changed from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when we were kids to now? Have things changed incredible amount?
I think the most important thing that changed is being embarrassed. So where before, nothing is on social media. So if you're embarrassed for a minute. But now if it goes on social media, the whole school knows.
Yeah.
It's really tough for young kids to – and there's so many kids without two parents. And so I have a 13-year-old, and she was really having a tough time to the point where she didn't go to school for a whole month.
Wow.
Because she felt – embarrassed.
So it's a big thing, and it affects the self-image and everything. So what advice do you have for parents who feel overwhelmed by their child's behavior?
Get help. Parents must get help. Why are you sending your child to psychology? You must go. First, you go. Because every time I've worked with a kid, I only need to do one session. The rest is all about the parents and parenting.
Yeah.
And I don't have all the answers. I'm not a master in anything, but I have the intuition to figure out what's really going on behind. So the kid may not tell you everything, but I feel stuff and I go, okay, was this the first time it happened? No, it happened before.
So it is important. So self introspection. Regular. You need to look at yourself before you start, and then that's interesting because we always think it's the kid's fault, or can't he behave properly, or can he not keep quiet when he's supposed to? But he's picking stuff up. We had a show the other day, Richard and I. We were talking about road rage, and I was saying as well that you've got to be careful how you react in the car because the kids are watching you.
Absolutely, all the time.
They're watching your behavior, so whatever you do, they'll do. You know,
we copy what our parents do.
Absolutely.
It's the only way we learn between 0 and 7. Then we can make some decisions ourselves.
Oh, it's a bit late for us. Some of our listeners have got kids over 8 years old now, so we need to help them as well. Yeah.
There's a message that's come on here that says, be your child's absolute safe, soft place to fall.
Yes.
Love unconditionally and talk so your child will listen. But most important, listen so your child will talk.
Yes.
And be vulnerable. That's a comment that's come up.
100%.
Great comment. Great comment. 100%. Yeah, great comment.
And if you engage with your child regularly in a way that the child wants to be talking back to you, if you're nurturing and not being critical, then they'll share everything with you.
That's what you want. But, that's absolutely what you want.
But between 8 and 13, we lose that.
Yep. Yeah.
We lose that connection.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So I want to talk a little bit about ADHD and the overdiagnosis of naughty kids. You know, all of a sudden, kids naughty, oh, it's ADHD. And then you've got to put him on Ritalin or whatever it is, all these things. And I'm not so sure. In fact, I'm absolutely 100% sure it's not a good thing.
So I don't have the experience about ADHD, but I can tell you that I've had friends whose kids were on Ritalin.
Yeah.
Or they continually changed the schools where the kids were because the teachers didn't understand. So this one particular kid went to private school, St. Joseph's, I think, in Claremont or St. I think it's St. Joseph's College. Mm. And he found his place. Our schools are so, I don't know, oversubscribed, probably is the word.
And the teacher, only one teacher, one person.
For 30
got
people.
30, 40 kids in the class, and it's got to be a parent. And parents think it's the teacher that must bring up the kids. It's actually not. It's the combination of the two, isn't it?
Also, the teachers are very young when they do grade one and two and Norton, and they don't have the life experience.
That's also true.
When I was in sub A, my teacher was an old person. She was incredible.
Yeah.
But today they're all very young. So I think they should form groups on how to handle. They should get some psychologist in to the schools to understand how we're not coping with this. How do we cope and not move the child and label him naughty?
No, I think that's a brilliant observation. Brilliant observation. Also, another observation is boys are often labeled as more naughty than girls, right? Okay, so that raises questions about gender bias in discipline. So what are your thoughts about that? Because I've seen some naughty little guys and I've seen some naughty little girls as well. So it really,
I don't think that's the truth, but I grew up with five brothers.
Okay.
And one of them was labeled naughty and had to move schools. And when he was 18, I asked him, what is wrong with you? Why do you give us all such a... Because when you're doing something, we all feel the pain. And he said this, which really, I'll always remember it. He said, I saw Dad with another woman.
Oh, wow. There we go.
And the impact, and he obviously saw our dad when he was very young.
And he was
angry.
And
the impact to him was so huge, he didn't know what to do with it. He didn't speak about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so there's things that happen.
And things as parents you don't think affects the child, but it could have been a really serious argument, right? You're saying everything affects them.
Everything. And I mean, he died when he was 20.
Oh, wow.
He was murdered. Sorry. But what I'm saying is, when the child's behavior changed, look inside the system. Don't look outside the system. Mm. That's the important part.
Yeah, and I also want to go a little bit towards cultural differences before we do a final thought. Cultural differences in defining naughty. So they, in the Western cultures, there's naughty, and then in the Eastern cultures, there's naughty. In the Middle East, there's naughty. You know, this is also a thing.
So this is my experience. I did a workshop with a travel company, and there was 30 people in the workshop, and at the end of the workshop I asked everyone to share with the MD who was present what they got out of the session that's going to make a difference in the workplace, because that was the whole point. Mm. But it was around communication, behavior, all that stuff. Mm. And the receptionist said, what I've learned today is that we're all the same, whether we're black or brown or white or whatever. We all have problems with our parents. We all have the same issues. And tomorrow, nobody stands at my desk and talks about anyone else. I'm chasing you away.
Nice.
That was the answer for me.
Good lesson.
We're the same everywhere.
We are the same.
Doesn't matter.
We are the same. Same issues, eh? Yeah. So final thought, Linda. And thank you for coming in today. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Rich, for allowing us today as well. What is the one key message you'd like to give parents to take away about child development and behavior? One key thing that you think can make a difference immediately?
Well, here's the thing. my parents, when they had arguments, they would have it when we were all sleeping, but I was always awake somehow. I was always listening to them. So don't do it in front of the children. Mm. That's the behavior that drives everything, how you interact with your other half, your spouse. That's really the key.
Yeah.
And we're all dysfunctional, really. We all are. There isn't a person in this world that isn't, because we come from two different systems, and now we merge the system as husband and wife, and we make things work. Mm. So you have a dominant parent, and you have the other one who is
subservient.
So just know that you all are dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And so your behavior is what you pass down.
Just be careful. Be careful how you go.
Yep. Look back at your parents. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. All right, Richard, I think that's about it. Thank you to Linda for those words of wisdom. It's gone so quickly. There's so much we can talk about on the subject. Yeah?
Yeah.
You naughty guy. I know, Rich, you can see that face. He was naughty, and it was just built in the genes and built in the DNA. Still today. Unbelievable.
The interesting thing about that is, and I'm listening to you, and I'm not dissing what you're saying. I had very nurturing parents, very good parents, and they did all the right things, and, you know, I was still naughty. So sometimes it is just the child's fault.
No, yes. Never.
And in my case, it definitely was just the child's fault, because my parents did all those things.
But the children, you naughty because you want to be seen or heard.
No, I was naughty just because I was naughty.
No, but
yeah, no, he's different. This is the unicorn. I mean, we're talking about not a normal.
I haven't met a Richard in my.
No, this is.
Richard, you're unique.
No. Well, we all know this, and that's why we. That's why he's the unicorn.
Wonderful, wonderful parents. My mother was an incredible woman who did all these things, and still.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, but what is naughty to you? I mean, what's naughty? It's like,
Did you burn a house down?
Taking the bike.
Well, I had to go to it, but yeah.
Everybody does. But, yeah. But I mean, naughty has got different definitions, right? So your kind of naughtiness was maybe smoking behind the house,
yes,
or something like that.
That was all a part of it.
Yeah, but you know,
that's not too bad.
That's mischievous.
You see, yeah, that's just mischievous. Yeah.
That you can see in your eyes. I mean, you were born with that. I mean, but you weren't. You weren't dysfunctional.
You didn't break someone's bones.
All he did, he's a karate expert, so he probably did, but I'm not going to go down that road. So we digress. We could talk for ages on this, and everybody could differ, and we could understand. But just to understand that we need to listen to our kids, we need to discipline, we need to have boundaries, and just make sure you don't have a kid like Richard. It's just, that's it, you know. So thank goodness you're an adult now. You're a grandfather. Can't help us all. But anyway, you're a grandfather now, and the kid's going to teach you a few things, okay? So, Linda, we have a thing on our hands, yeah.
Thank you so much, Richard and Jeff. Thanks. I feel honored being here. Thank you.
Nice to have had you here. Thanks, Jeff. You can go now because we'll be bored with you anyway.
Okay.
So,
bye.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.